superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Beckham's out there. Touchdown!
All righty, so let's get into it, Joe.
Heard nationwide, televised online at richeisenshow.com.
You go right out of the gate as this is a must-win game for the Browns?
Burrow back in the pocket, late pressure, he got hit.
This is about as important as a Week 2 game can get.
Hire register.
The Browns are going to be winners on Thursday.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college football analyst Todd McShay. Still to come, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, TJ's not making it to Wingfoot. Let's just put it that way. Hour number two of our show on the air. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen. I've got Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their usual spots over there.
What up?
We went down a Jets wormhole in hour number one. That is my favorite team. I know that. But we had Todd McShay on, and he is a guy who's watched a ton of film of all these young quarterbacks that are now in years two and three in the league. And also in game two in the league, like Joe Burrow. So we hit him up on what he thinks of Burrow's evaluation and Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. And then we hit Sam Darnold and what's going on with him. And I asked him the million-dollar question that is on the minds of tons of Jets fans, that if the Jets wind up with the first overall selection, literally thought that when they fell down 21-0 in the first week, and it just felt like, okay. You look at Adam Gase in the sideline, and he looked like Coslet and Kotite all wrapped up in one. Cos-tite, right? Or Coatlet. Okay, just wrapped up in one, and just, you know, we're all feeling it right now. Like, what happens if they get the first overall selection? And you got Sam Darnold. You turn Sam Darnold into the Josh Rosen of this equation because you got Trevor Lawrence coming in like the Cardinals had Kyler Murray. And it's just like, hey, you know.
Sorry for you.
Sorry. Let's move on. And I imagine the Jets would get more than just a second round selection than the Cardinals got. Unless he falls completely apart this year that you don't expect him to. And he's such a good kid. He really is. When you meet him, he is so earnest, and he is so right, and he is so talented, and he is so undeserving of what's happening. And you hope that he can overcome what's happening by himself in the same way that we're already thinking, can Joe Burrow overcome the Bengals? Well, yeah, if you got A.J. Green, and you got Joe Mixon, and you got Boyd, and you got a coach who's young and with an offensive mindset that can actually plug in and say, oh, throw it 61 times in a short week on your first road game and not throw an interception and throw 300 yards. You know, that'd be great if Sam Darnold could do that, but he doesn't have A.J. Green. And instead of Mixon, he had Bell, but Bell is just, I honestly don't even know what the hell happened. It does look like Bell is in a situation where he's coached by someone who didn't want him. Right. Which is what the report was.
Yeah, 100%.
After the Jets let a general manager sign him to all that money and then draft the team and then fire him. And again, the reason why I bring this all up is like if the Jets go first overall, what happens? Do you take Trevor Lawrence and say goodbye to Sam Darnold? And McShay's answer was priceless. Go check it out on Peacock or on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Hit our poll question one more time here at the top of our second hour, Christopher. Go for it.
Yeah, buddy. Looking at NFL Week 2, who needs a win the most? Bucks, Cowboys, Eagles, Vikings. Right now, Cowboys have surged ahead a little bit, 34%. Bucks, 33%.
Okay.
And I just threw up a Jets poll.
What'd you do? I would say, what should they do?
Yeah, if the Jets get the number one pick, what should they do? Draft Trevor Lawrence, duh, or trade out for 5+ picks?
I know people are laughing about it. Todd McShay laughed about it. There's 15 games left. There's 16 weeks to go. Quinn and Williams, I think, had one tackle. I mean, even their top five drafted linemen, who's supposed to start flashing, he didn't flash a damn second against the Bills. So, don't laugh, because all of us Jets fans are thinking
it. You might win this
it.
Weekend.
Huh?
You might win this weekend.
No, you can't even go higher register on the Jets. Can't even do that.
The Jets might win.
We've got that coming up.
The 49ers are reeling.
That's a new Friday tradition here on the show, as we go higher register, because here on the show we go higher register when we try to talk ourselves into an opinion that really doesn't have much of a chance. I think I just described what higher register
is. Pretty much.
Very good, Rich.
Hey, congratulations to Giannis Antetokounmpo. He is the MVP because the NBA didn't announce that.
It's coming later today.
I mean, we should just have the Woj Awards. You know, hey, it's not the NBA. It's the Woj Awards.
For real.
Hey, everybody, star with your host, Woj. And he didn't even put that up, Don. He didn't even use the language that information men and women use, like expected to. There are plans. Right. The NBA plans to announce
it's
Giannis.
No.
You know, or it's Giannis is expected to be announced as. No, it's just flat out. He has won his second consecutive MVP award, sources tell ESPN.
Boom.
And that's it. It's over. Thanks for playing, everybody. Woj, can he tweet out who's going to win the NBA Finals?
He knows.
That might save me some heartache in the next couple of days watching Celtics heat.
Hey, here's what's going to happen. Celtics plan to kiss and make up. Expected to. Oh, according to Shams, they already have, though. Oh, yeah. So Shams Charania will be joining us shortly. He wrote about it in The Athletic.
Hope so. Got to do something. I mean, you can't have a 10-plus fourth-quarter lead and a 13-point lead at halftime and watch those go away. I mean, no killers. Miami's got a killer. And that dude is Jimmy Butler.
I think they have more of them.
They got a rim protector who, when you have to get a rebound, he's getting the rebound. Celtics don't have that. And that's the big, glaring sun issue right now for us.
Dude, in the same way that your team is deep with talented players, Brown and Smart and Tatum and Kemba and... You know,
yeah,
Tice.
I mean, no.
I mean,
Tice is good.
I know, but
he's not Bam Adebayo.
No, he's not. That's correct. They've got Jimmy Butler and Dragic, and Adebayo.
He's the X factor.
Oh, X factor. Duncan Robinson's going 6-for-12 from three. He's spotting up, and that Tyler Hero. Oh my God.
Yeah. Dude can play, man.
We had this conversation. I can't imagine. Why would the Heat trade any of these guys away for Giannis? I mean, why would they do it? I know he's winning his second MVP. They're just gelling, and they're all young, and they're all talented. And somebody's got – I mean, Tyler Hero, I looked it up because I just was wondering.
Mm-hmm.
His wingspan is 6'3". He can defend. He can pass. He can shoot. And he's not even like – as you pointed out, not even like the first three Heat you mentioned.
Right.
6'3", a long wingspan?
Huh?
Is 6'3", a long wingspan?
I mean, I don't know. Was your guard defending in the perimeter?
Well, he's 6'5", so that's actually kind of small. But
yeah. Oh, I don't know. I looked it up, and I thought that seems pretty large to me.
I mean.
I don't know, man. He just looks like he can defend. He looks like he's got these long talons that's out there, and he can cover some ground.
Him on the sea. So
I mean, he's a guy who's defending on the perimeter. He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
He's shutting
people
down.
When you're 6'5", and Kemba's only 6 feet tall, you're going to cause some problems.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Like, Marcus Smart, somebody's got to get fired up because this is going south fast.
Let's go to Jeff in Detroit. What's up, Jeffrey? How are you?
What's going on, Uncle?
Hey, Brother Mike, big hug from the D for you, baby. You know what it is.
Thank you,
Listen,
Jeff.
Listen, you were talking about the Jets getting the first pick. The Detroit Lions might have something to say about that.
No,
one right there.
No. Look, I know you blew a fourth quarter lead, but you've got some talented players, man. You got some talented players.
Yeah.
Galladay, when he's healthy, he's going to get out there. You got Marvin Jones. You got DeAndre Swift. I know he dropped the ball, but he's a stellar rookie. I'll take DeAndre Swift. You want to give him to the Jets? Go for it. You know, I mean, and if the Jets, you know, I think you're a talented team, and you're not going to be the first overall selection. I would.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm just hoping on it. I'm really hoping on it. Now, my question to you is this, though.
Yeah.
I'm having deja vu here. Are we seeing the 2002-2003 Detroit Pistons right before our eyes with the Heat versus the Lakers? Because I'm hearing, it's funny how you hear everybody pretty much giving it to the Lakers if they get out the West. You know, not really giving the Heat a chance. And it's that type of gelling, that type of camaraderie, that type of chip on your shoulder that got those Pistons over, not really having a significant superstar where Jimmy Butler is, you know, he's super, but, you know, in that kind of realm, and them coming together at the right time.
So is he the Rip Hamilton of the team? Is that what you're saying? Or like who?
Yeah, like the Chauncey Billups. Mr. Big Shot, you know. He would defend, he would do stuff, and maybe not get into the scores column, but he would do, you know, other things like assist or make a key play at the right time.
Jeff, you always give us some high quality food for thought. Thanks for the call. That's Jeff in Detroit. You want to talk about matchups? I know Lakers Celtics is probably what Disney executives are saying. Let's go. Okay, sure. You got Boston and you got LA.
Yeah.
But you want to talk storylines? Heat Lakers. That LeBron goes to the Lakers through Cleveland after, you know. Mm-hmm. And Riley, who got the super team together, right? The original super team.
Against his old team.
Correct.
Against, you started the super team, bro!
That Riley against his old franchise in the Lakers, mm-hmm. where LeBron is to try and cap a legacy. And the Heat, where everybody thought when LeBron's gone, that's it. That'll be it for a long time. And how are they going to... And Riley puts a team together to beat LeBron and the Lakers. The Lakers get back and miss the Showtime coach with the Heat, wins another French championship with the Heat, but this one totally different than the way he got the other championships there as the architect.
Yep.
Same coach, though. I mean, where everyone's thought, well, why wouldn't Riley should just come and coach the team? Why is he going with this kid Spoelstra? Seriously, you know what I mean?
Like,
who I'm sure LeBron respects the hell out of. And
that was the narrative when LeBron and those guys showed up to South Beach, didn't win the title in the first year, got beat by Dallas. Then it was like, should Riley just coach this team? Like, who's this guy, Eric Spoelstra?
There is one team that would like to raise its hand and say, we have a say in this too. Denver Nuggets. Now, if this series that starts tonight plays to type from what we've seen in the bubble, the Lakers will drop the first game because that's what they did to Portland and that's what they did in the last series
to
Houston.
Yeah.
They'll go down 1-0 and then win the next three. And that's when things will get interesting with Denver. Because if it plays to type for them, that's the hole from which they would come out again. So don't be surprised Denver wins tonight because that plays to tight for the Lakers. And don't be surprised if the Lakers look like they're world beaters going to the finals again. So
and the Lakers haven't played in, what, five days?
Yeah.
LeBron's only competition has been watching football and tweeting about it.
He's been tweeting a lot about football this
week.
He's
sitting in a bubble. What's he going to do? He loves football.
He was dapping up Joe Burrow last night.
Of course he was. Why not? Because I'm sure LeBron remembers Joe Burrow from the school he roots for when they let him walk. But he's still, honestly, let me just say this one more time. And I'm talking
special, all caps.
Let me just say this.
Caps.
Let me say this. Let me call out LeBron James.
He posted a gif of Odell Beckham
King
last
James.
Night.
Oh, that's fine. The Cleveland, I totally get. But I will say this to you, LeBron James, and the rest of the Ohio State. You may not own Joe Burrow as one of your own. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm already seeing
it. That's fair.
I'm already seeing the groundwork.
Totally
it was
fair.
Laid. It was laid when he was going through it at LSU and when he won the Heisman Trophy and did give a shout out to Ohio State. Okay? I saw that, and then all the Ohio State fans laying the groundwork at the combine in the draft talking about how he was ours first, and we loved him, but he was great, but just didn't, you know, kind of work out, you know? In the same way, though, I always hear the crap about Brady having to share stuff with Drew Henson, but we didn't ship Brady down to Louisiana or let him go. No. You may not own Joey B. And he may talk about you like he has these great memories and it was part of his journey. No. So don't start rooting for him and calling him one of your own. He used to be, but when he became Joey Burrow, when he became Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner, national championship winner, not yours, long gone, didn't make that leap from, as Todd McShay called it, fifth round selection to first overall selection. Didn't make that leap with you, for you.
Go Tigers.
Nuh-uh.
Go Tigers.
So, to all you Buckeye fans, including, yes, you, LeBron James.
Go Tigers.
I know you like having fun every November these days, and you have every right to brag. Fine. But when you want to talk goats of all time, we have him. We always had him, never shipped him off somewhere else. So no matter what Joe Burrow does, have fun. Not yours. Even Brady's current tight end laughs about it.
The crap.
I felt that. I feel good. I feel better now. I've been sitting on that one for a while. Like back at, you just, you know, when he wins the Heisman Trophy and all the Buckeye fans were like, oh, so good for you. Good for you, Joey.
That is weird.
Good for you, Joe Burrow.
They didn't want him. I mean, Cincinnati is in Ohio, though. You know what I mean?
No, I totally know. I get that he's a favorite son, and he's an Ohio product. Athens, Ohio, and then the Buckeyes had him. But, you know, went in another direction. Just didn't have a spot for him that could allow him to be the guy that he is today. He had to go somewhere else to be that guy.
Like LeBron, he had to leave Cleveland to go to Miami to learn how to win.
Cleveland came back.
Yeah.
He went back to Cleveland. He's not going to be the Thornton Mellon going back to school.
True that.
He's not going to triple Lindy his way back into the horseshoe. And he can root for him, and he could show up there. I don't care. If they start playing football again in the Big Ten, knock on wood if you're with me. Hold on a minute. Let me see if this is going to actually potentially work out. Cincinnati's bye week. Oh, yeah. Week 9. First weekend of, second weekend of November. He could show up there in the horseshoe and put the Buckeye stuff on. We all know. I don't care, LeBron. He's not yours to own as one of the all-time greats. And by the way, just 2 games in, I just wanted to say that no matter how close he could possibly even get in the remote area code of Tom Brady, we never ship Tom Brady somewhere else.
I plead the 5th.
Thank you very much. There it is. There's the LSU Tiger. Needed that opportunity in Louisiana to become the guy he is today.
Go Tigers.
Oh, I'm enjoying this. I want to hear from you, Columbus. 844-204-RICH. Shams calls in from the bubble in a moment.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So, the Patriots and the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football, 7 Eastern time for Football Night in America. Mike Tirico and the gang before Al and Chris and Michelle from what will no doubt be one of the more odd pandemic 2020 settings, the opener in Seattle, where you normally can't think to yourself because of the 12s going crazy. That'll be on Sunday Night Football. And are you cleaning up on Isle Brockman over there? What happened?
Man,
what happened?
I mean,
did you spill something towards the end
I spilled my tea all over myself.
Oh, my gosh.
Went right on.
Really? Was it hot? Red hot?
It was warm.
Ish. Okay, well, that's
it was,
good.
It was. I'm not like burned. It wasn't a Kramer situation, but, you know, front of my shorts are soaked.
Oh, you got the Latte Larry's to-go cup?
Yeah, I got the to-go cup. I really needed it.
Use it.
So anyway.
Okay.
I got wet shorts. Bad.
Do you really
need
it? Bad. Oh, man. Fight through it, Chris. There's only a half a show left.
Thanks. I'm going to try.
Fight through it, man.
Real bad. So I'm just like, you know, trying to dry myself off.
Really? Was it a full cup?
It was, you know, 2/3. It
smells like green tea over here now.
You got bad cup security over there, man. Got to work on that. Four points of pressure. 4 points of pressure, okay?
Thank you.
Welcome back to our NBCSN audience and all those listening to us. We've been on Peacock for the last couple of minutes. We are on Peacock. You get more Rich Eisen Show when you stream us on Peacock, and look at that lineup. I mean, if you're a football fan, what better way would you want to go through your day during an NFL and also a college football season that's burgeoning? We've got Bruce Feldman coming up to talk about college football. We'll get to Shams Charani in a quick second. For all those who might have been thinking I went a little bit overboard earlier with Todd McShay saying that how poorly the Jets have looked and how injury-riddled they already are and how tough their schedule is going to be, that if they are presented with the first overall pick and they are presented with the question of do you go with Trevor Lawrence or Sam Darnold? And he laughed and he even said the Jets weren't going to draft first overall. Well, let me just give you an update on that front. My colleague, Kim Jones, who's dynamite at her job.
Yes.
She tweets out, Jets wide receiver Jamison Crowder, hamstring, ruled out Sunday versus the 49ers. Adam Gase.
Oh, I was going to get to that.
Adam Gase confirms it. Hold on. We'll do it later. Don't worry. It's evergreen, Chris. Adam Gase calls Crowder, quote, probably our best player on offense the last 2 years. Phone drop. He's a good player.
He's
a good player.
He's nice.
He's fast. He's a good receiver. But is he a one? Is he one in this league? Is Jamison Crowder a one in the National Football League?
No.
And yet the best offensive player the Jets have had in 2 years. What do you think Le'Veon Bell is thinking as he's getting over his hamstring? He's thinking, once again, my coach thinks I'm hot garbage. Now, Bell has not produced, but you don't come to a town like New Jersey.
Exactly.
And talk about a guy like Le'Veon Bell like that.
Nope, because he has a signpost. And a statue.
I don't know where. At Michigan State, maybe? Probably. I don't know. Definitely not in Pittsburgh.
No, not in Pittsburgh.
Come on. When you're a coach, you got to talk about the players. I mean, coach them up at least. At least give them an attaboy in public by not calling Jamison Crowder your best. You could say he's one of the best producers we've had, and Jamison Crowder is not going into the Jets Hall of Fame based on his 2 years of service. This is why we think they're going to crap out and get the first overall pick. This is why we feel this way. Now then, maybe the Jets and Gase and Bell and everybody can just kiss and make up if it's necessary, in the same way the Celtics apparently have after last night's loss and apparent set to in the locker room and to talk about this. from The Athletic and Stadium is Shams Charania, back on the Rich Eisen Show from the bubble. How are you, sir?
Rich, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what happened with the Celtics and what is going on? Let's start with the past and then the present. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so I did some reporting this morning on The Athletic, and Marcus Smart was heard yelling and shouting post-game by media members, by everyone around kind of the locker room scene last night. But I'm told him and Jaylen Brown had a heated confrontation. They had to be separated in the locker room by teammates before it got physical. And Marcus Smart, from what I'm told, stormed into the locker room and essentially was telling players and coaches that everyone else is being absolved from blame, while I'm being the one that everyone's pointing their finger toward. Everyone else needs to be held accountable as well. Other players need to be held accountable. And as he continued, as his voice kept going, Jaylen Brown snapped back and basically told him that he needed to cool off, that he needed to calm down, and that the players have to win and lose games together. And I think some of that, from what I'm told, stemmed from Smart getting into it with a couple of the coaches during the game verbally. And it was a tense interaction. There were objects. You have different things in a locker room, and there were objects thrown around. And before these guys could be physically confronting each other, they were separated. And, from what I'm told, Jaylen Brown is very fond of Marcus Smart, loves Marcus Smart as a teammate. So these things happen in locker rooms. This was definitely something that multiple people involved felt was, pretty it got a little extreme, but these things happen. They've smoothed tensions over in the last 12 hours, and are going to look to learn from it and move toward a pivotal game three as they trail 2-0.
Now, I'm not fully aware of what the local media is saying, but or if this is a media driven thing, but where's Marcus Smart getting that he's the only one to blame here? Where's that come from?
That's coming from teammates. That's coming from coaches. I mean, that's obviously got to be coming from somewhere, right? These guys, just played in the game, so he's not on his Twitter. There was a shot that Marcus Smart took late in the game, a fadeaway jumper from the left side of the floor that, I guess that could be a shot that you could look at that maybe teammates, coaches had an issue with. And as Smart was making his way into the post-game locker room, he felt that he was being blamed for that shot, for that loss, and he responded. Marcus Smart is a leader. He's a winner. The Celtics have been to the playoffs all 6 years of his career. They've made 3 conference finals in his 6 seasons with the team. So everyone around the team understands how bad he wants to win, and sometimes his emotions, he makes it known, and he wanted other guys, other players, whoever it may be, to be also be held accountable if people are going to also put blame on him.
Well, maybe we will look back at this and say this is the turning point moment if the Celtics survive. But the Heat, man, they look like the proverbial hot team you don't want to face right now, Shams.
Yeah, no question. Jimmy Butler is playing at a high level on both ends of the floor. Last night his shot clearly was not going, but he did everything else in his power to will that Miami team. Bam Adebayo had a big second half. And, Brad Stevens is going to have to make some adjustments here with his lineup, with his defensive adjustments. There's going to be changes that need to be made going into game 3. We'll see what that is. Gordon Hayward is continuing to make progress to potentially return. And those are the two things that the Celtics need to identify. This Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown incident, this is not something that's ideal that these guys want, but it's something that happened. And they need to move forward, but Miami clearly has the edge right now, and has a 2-0 lead.
Go ahead and ask the questions of Sham that you got in my ear, Chris.
Yeah, Shams. Last night the Heat went zone, and it just totally discombobulated the Celtics. Kind of the same way Toronto and Nick Nurse went zone and kind of did the same thing. Like, why is that an issue for Boston playing against a zone like that?
Great question. Just not able to make out when teams go zone, like the Raptors did it to them, and now Miami did them. They're not able to get the ball in the middle of the floor, And that might be a tactical adjustment that Brad Stevens needs to make going into game three. You know, talking to people around the team, that is something that they looked at, that we need to figure out a way to match up against this zone. And so that remains to be seen. How will Brad Stevens get a player on the middle of the floor and get outside shooting? Perhaps Gordon Hayward's return could alleviate that as well.
What do you think? Do you think he comes back? Do you think we see him? Because they were down 0-2, and they're just saying, let's go, Gordon. Let's go. What do you think?
I don't know if it'll be game three, but Gordon Hayward is planning to return at some point this series. It could be game four. You know, it's interesting, Rich, the game three to game four. Game three is going to be Saturday tomorrow. Game four is going to be Wednesday. So if he wants to use those extra days, he can. But there is an expectation that he will be back on the floor at some point.
Shams Charania here from the Athletic and Stadium and Inside the Bubble right here. On the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, let's get to tonight's contest, the Nuggets and the Lakers. I mean, LeBron said everything that he should have said and perhaps truly believes that the Nuggets are a force to be reckoned with. How do you think the matchup looks? What is the conversation in the bubble about this matchup between the Nuggets and Lakers, Shams?
Listen, Denver is still going to be regarded as an underdog, and I think they understand that. And now it's they're going to have another series where they're going to be the underdogs, and the Lakers are going to be the favorites in this. There's no question. But the Nuggets look like they have it in them, and everything so far that we've seen in the playoffs has you know they find ways to win games. They find ways to compete. Jamal Murray is playing with such a swag right now. Nikola Jokic is looking like probably the best player, or if not the one of the best players so far in this playoff series, in this entire postseason throughout the NBA. And so Denver definitely looks poised. And one adjustment I do expect the Lakers to make, you know, coming off that Houston series, is I think they will play a lot bigger, expect more minutes for Dwight Howard. He did not play much against the Rockets.
Who guard? Is it Rondo on Murray? Is that who we're going to see?
I could see. I mean, obviously they start with LeBron James at point guard. I could see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope starting on Jamal Murray, but you know you have Rondo coming off the bench. Alex Caruso, I'm sure, will also get a lot of clutch minutes on him as he did in the Houston series on James Harden or Russell Westbrook.
No, I guess what I mean is crunch time. Like if there's a crunch time moment, third quarter, he catches fire like we saw him do against the Clippers. Who is the guy that when it comes down to it is gonna mark Murray? Is it LeBron? You really think so?
It would not surprise me if LeBron James in crunch time takes effort on Jamal Murray.
That'd be great.
But you know the primary defenders I would probably see are Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Alex Caruso, in some form of Rondo potentially. But you know in terms of clutch moments, I would expect Caruso, LeBron, KCP.
Okay, that'd be great. Shams here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Clippers. What's the aftermath? Is Doc Rivers in any sort of trouble with the Clips?
I haven't heard that. I think that you know there's a reason Kawhi Leonard, Paul George wanted to come to the Clippers. Doc Rivers was a major reason. This loss was difficult. There's no question about it. And now they're going to need to find a way to, and a lot of it might come internally. They're going to have you know a couple parts that they could look to move. I think getting another playmaker will likely be a priority for them this summer, another guy at point guard in the backcourt potentially. But they have the talent. They have the pieces. They just did not perform at the level that they needed to. And you know, Paul George didn't step up to the plate in clutch moments. The one off game Kawhi Leonard had so happened to come at the same time that other guys were also struggling. The Williams couldn't find his stride in the playoffs, Montrezl Harrell. So they could easily run it back. They have the talent. They still have all the pieces to compete for a championship berth.
Is there really any truth to Paul George saying, like, did the Clippers really have an approach this season prior to the pandemic and then post bubbling up in the bubble that this year wasn't the year anyway? That they had more runway than this season to win championship or bust. Was that really the mindset of the Clippers? Because that I found very hard to believe, Shams.
Technically, they did have the runway. They have next year with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard under contract before their player option years. But overall, this year was still looked at, you know, from all, you know, players, coaches, the championship was the ultimate goal this year. Anything short of that, and that is the expectation that the Clippers put on themselves when they went out, got Kawhi Leonard and free agency, traded multiple draft picks, Shea Alexander, Gilgeous Alexander for Paul George. That's the expectation you put on yourself with the championship coach and Doc Rivers, the talent that they have on this roster. This is a championship level team. Lawrence, Frank, Doc Rivers, these guys have high expectations. Nothing short of a championship would have satisfied this Clippers season.
And I'm sure you weren't surprised by it, but maybe the ferocity of it. NBA Twitter and the rest of the NBA, from Magic Johnson to C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard, just, I guess, three people jumped out at me. The widespread glee with which the rest of NBA Twitter and NBA players took with the Clippers blowing it. Walk me through all of that, those who might need a refresher. Were you surprised with the ferocity of everybody just having so much fun at the Clippers' expense?
No, I really, I mean, I saw a couple blurbs about it. I saw a couple tweets, but I didn't really get to it. Obviously, I was at the game and did post-game stuff, so I didn't really fully get into it. But listen, I mean, the Clippers, they put these, you know, the expectation, the pressure on themselves, and now, you know, you're going to have to deal with it. These are just things that you have to deal with. It's noise, and I would expect them to be right back in the thick of it next year.
Well, I mean, just to give you a, you know, C.J. McCollum was pointing out that they, you know, essentially that the Clippers voted to not be in the bubble anymore, but he didn't think that they would go out like that. He also tweeted out that he was wondering if they packed their bags before the game. Damian Lillard inviting them to Cabo. You know, Magic Johnson saying that they choked again. I mean, is there such an animus towards the Clippers league-wide? Shams?
I wouldn't say animus. I think that they, you know, they there were commercials done, there were billboards made in L.A., you know, proclaiming their dominance. You know, if you talk to Lakers fans, I'm sure they would say you got to go win a ring before you gloat. And so maybe they did get a little, you know, a little ahead in terms of the marketing. But again, that's all stuff these players can't control. And what's done between the lines is done between the lines. Denver, you know, for them to come back from double-digit deficits in those last three games and win, I mean, you know, credit to them.
Last one for you, Shams Charania here from the bubble. When do we hear from Giannis, who are expecting to hear him being the MVP? When do we hear from Giannis about up or down on the concept of a supermax? Yes or no? I know we saw him tweet out saying, "I'll see you next year, Bucks fans," but. When do we actually get rubber meeting the road on the most important item with him?
Yeah, Rich, we don't even know when free agency is going to be. You know, it could be anywhere from late November, December. And so until you find out more clarity for next year, I don't think Giannis has given it that much thought. He's on vacation on Greece, and he will spend the time with family and kind of distance himself from the season and everything like that. Right now, I don't think right now, he doesn't have to give a yay or nay. I think that's probably coming closer to November, December, as free agency dates are set, as next year's cap is set, as there's more future about next season.
So give me the team he's on next season. Crystal ball it for me as we're sitting here in the middle of September. What do you think?
I would expect him to stay with Milwaukee next
okay.
season.
Okay.
Because he's under contract.
All right, Shams. Thanks very much. We appreciate you taking the time, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You got that. Shams Charania here from the Rich Eisen Show. All right. How is Giannis not thought about it? If they really think he's on vacation, not thinking about it? Or that's just him like, let's come out and take the pressure off. You'll win the MVP. Send this tweet out. Go on vacation. Say you're not thinking about it. That sounds like the PR approach to me.
Yeah.
You know, and then LeBron on Jamal Murray. Here we go. Let's just slap the floor and see how it goes. That'll be fun tonight.
It's going to be great.
That'll be fun tonight. Hey, when we come back, the latest example of why I'm Father of the Year. Wait to hear this story. That'll be good. Okay. And our friends at NBC want to let you know the third playoff race of the NASCAR Cup Series is tomorrow from Bristol, Tennessee, and you can only see it on NBCSN. Coverage starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. Okay, everybody. 120th U.S. Open today at 4 Eastern time, an hour after our show's over. Check it out on NBC. Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas, and Colin Morikawa today are all in the same group.
Love it.
So they're teeing off in about 3 minutes' time. Patrick Reed, already one under. He's going off on the other nine right now as well. He and Justin Thomas tied at 5 under. Bryson DeChambeau, 2 under. Oof. Nice day for him. He's in the hunt.
On the long par five, he hit his drive.
Yeah.
380.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
What a feeling that must be. Just to just
what's the farthest you've ever hit, Rich?
Oh, dude, I might have poked one close to 300 if I just caught it, and it might have been a breeze and
downhill with a breeze and a roll.
And it rolled.
Oh my word!
Ridiculous.
Woof. All right, we'll take your calls right now. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's take some of your phone calls here. Scott in Ohio, you're here on the program. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about how perfect Joe Burrow is for the city of Cincinnati.
Okay.
We have been struggling for years with this football team. And since Boomer, I haven't seen another quarterback that looks like him.
Well, you don't forget Carson Palmer before Kimo Van Olhoffen rolled up on him. Everything looked pretty damn good right there. You were ready to roll that year, but I understand what you're saying. Burrow, I mean, the kid's from Athens, you know, and he had a cup of coffee at the Ohio State, and LSU really made him great. And, you know, so it's pretty good. It's definitely a good spot for him.
He is just, he's Ohio, Kentucky, like he's Midwest. And I love that about him.
Me too.
His Heisman speech, everything he says is perfect.
And it looks like he's the real deal, man. So congrats on that. Again, we're just 2 games in, but he does look like the real deal. And I mean, he made one throw on the run. I forget who he hit in the hands. Even Aikman was like,
the one on the sideline?
In the second quarter. Oh, like, yeah. Even Aikman's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a tight window, and he did it in there.
I mean, he can make, he's got courage. He's athletic. I'm happy for you.
I love Carson, but Joe is perfect for us.
No doubt. I mean, Carson's from Southern California, you know, he's a California kid from USC going to Cincinnati. We all know how he felt about the organization. I hope Burrow doesn't wind up feeling that way, and I thank you for the call. You know, Joe's from Athens, Ohio. And again, had a cup of coffee at Ohio State, had to go to Louisiana to become the guy he became. I'm not going to stop beating that drum. And if you noticed, it was a throwaway line. Hey, you know, he had a cup of coffee at Ohio State, and he had to go to Louisiana to become the guy he became.
Go Tigers.
That's right. Hey, man. What's wrong? Was I wrong? Maybe no. A little bit more than a cup of coffee? Well, they went in a different direction. They just let him. They let him go.
A bowl of gumbo.
Let him go.
Best direction he could go.
Bowl of gumbo.
No. Yeah, just you just let him fly. Be free. Don't own him. You may not own him, Ohio State. I'm sorry.
Go Tigers.
You're not sorry.
You're not sorry at all.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry.
So, look, we're in a pandemic, and anyone with kids, you know, if you're, you know, fortunate enough to be healthy, and you just figure out what the kids can do to get through the day somehow, some way, not on a phone or an iPad or something like that for a very long time. It's something that we're wondering about, but you know, obviously, you got to let your kids have screen time, and. My 12-year-old, Zan, decided he wanted to binge watch Friends.
Okay. Great show.
This is after he ripped through The Good Place.
Oh. That's a...
I know.
Kind of on a...
I know. Susie and I made decisions like, okay, he was 11, now he turned 12. He can make decisions, and there are mature, one would say, subject matters. But also, good comedy. We would like to expose our kid to good comedy. And then, as you will find out, Chris, when your beautiful firstborn masculine child decides to start watching television shows, you think the Idina Menzel Geico commercials driving you nuts? Wait till these choices begin to show up on your screen. I'll be watching a ton of television shows that you just never thought you'd watch. And then you're watching a ton of television shows that you never want to watch. And then you're seeing he choose television shows that you know is garbage for his head. Just garbage. Absolute garbage. So if you can watch a show with him and enjoy it and also bond through it, it's a win.
All right, that's fair.
Now then, you know, when the episode is about when Joey and Chandler got free porn on their television set.
That was great.
And then they
turn it off by accident.
And Cooper, my 9-year-old, comes walking in and is watching it. And he says to me, "What's porn?" I say,
"That's amazing."
I say, "Not now."
Not now.
That's it? That's all you said?
Not now. That's it.
Like you were so locked into the episode, you couldn't explain?
No. I just not now.
That's an ask your mother situation.
No, it's not, because we're a team. I don't want to just...
Have I ever watched Cinemax at 12:30 in the morning? Yes, sir, I have.
Oh, my God!
That was a three-pointer. That was a three-pointer.
From way downtown.
Yes.
That was like a drop from 5 years ago, maybe the last time we talked about Shannon Tweed.
That was a Mike Breen double bang.
Emmanuel.
So, these are moments. These are moments. Susie's done a lot of the watching with Zan. They've been bonding over, you know, it's like, hey, let's watch a Friends before bedtime and stuff like that. But it's great. It's great. It's great. It's just been great going down memory lane and seeing him watch. It's, you know, a classic comedy.
Great show.
Right. Well, at any rate, this is, by the way, in case anyone's wondering, you know, why I have the sign here in front of me. Best dad ever.
Best dad ever.
At any rate, this started, you know, way back in the spring. I mean, there's 200 some odd episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So, Suze was on a work Zoom. Zan is finishing up Friends. He has finally reached the end of the 10-season archive.
235 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, and he watched them all. He watched them all, and I go upstairs, and it is just finishing. They're playing the end credits, and I look at him, and he's getting choked up. He's getting choked up because I don't know what's going on in his beautiful brain, but maybe it's that, you know, what America felt in 2004, that it was in the end of a long television run. Like, he's just beginning to feel like what it's like to watch a show, go through it all, relate in some way, shape, or form to one of the characters. Yep. Like, I think he felt like he'd lost his friends. You know? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like wondering, how do I handle this situation? And I just look at him, and I'm like, are you getting choked up? And he starts getting teary-eyed and nods his head. I'm like, oh, buddy. And he looks at me, and I look at him, and I just said to him, the only thing that leapt into my mind was, I'll be there for you.
I was just going to say.
When the rain starts to pour.
Rich was there.
At which point,
Rich
he rolls his eyes at me.
Because that's a dad joke.
How is that a dad joke? The music is playing in the background. Like, I think I actually hit it note for note. I thought this is a perfect way. And then And then I make the choice to double down. I say, I'll be there for you like I've been there before. At which point it ruined the whole moment.
You went too far.
But I still think it's a worthy moment of this sign here on my desk. It's best dad ever.
It's like in Fight Club when he's like, oh, you think you're pretty clever, huh? How's that working out for you, being clever?
I felt like saying, we just turned 12. We just let you watch the entire.
Pretty impressive. So how long did he knock that out? Like month? Say,
yeah. Months. Took months.
Oh, months. Man.
Took months.
Impressive.
Now what? We're trying to, say, The Office. The Office.
Oh, he wants, like. For a 12-year-old,
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Parks and Rec, it's by Mike Schur, the same creator of The Good Place. I'm like.
You could do Office.
Some of this stuff might be, a little bit too beyond, but.
Do you want him to learn it from his friends at school or through a TV show?
Well, as you know, there's no friends at school. They don't see each other except on a little square during the day. So
imagine being like Zan.
Why not have Joey? I mean, that's the nick. That's his fantasy team name is called the Joey Special.
Great.
With the avatar of Joey eating a slice of pizza.
Pretty good. Imagine like being Zan and knowing you have like Sopranos ahead of you, Breaking Bad ahead of you.
Well, I mean, he doesn't know that
right now.
No, but that's to me like I can't wait to sit down and watch The Godfather with these kids.
Yeah, it's like watching.
But
man.
I mean, all the stuff. I don't know when is appropriate. Because again, for my kid who just turned 9, I was told when he was 8, just over the summer, have him watch Goonies, and that wasn't workable, dude. Literally spent the first half of that movie saying, they're not going to die, all right?
No, Goonies never say die.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
You know what I mean?
Rich. Bad choice. Bad choice. I'd rather talk to my son about what's porn. Father of the year. Certainly if my answer's going to be, not now.
Not now. Go ask your mother. That's a great episode, though. I mean, that's like winning the lottery back in
It's very funny.
Mid-90s.
It was very funny, and it was great to go through it. And I'll say it here. Look, I'm not telling any tales out of school. Just seeing half the cast of Friends from back in the day was just awesome. I mean, you could figure out half the cast. But there were some great, cameos. Paul Rudd and Hank Azaria towards the end, and Tom Selleck.
Yeah, they used to have a lot of.
I know.
It's great.
You were there for him.
Great,
Rich. You were there for him.
I was there. I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. By the way, I'll be there for you like I've been there before.
Next time you're trying to go super clever, don't. You're giving me fatherly advice right now. Don't.
You're giving me fatherly advice.
Yeah. Because in your head, you're like, I'm nailing this. And your kid's like, I don't want to hear that from you.
I'm getting fatherly advice. And those who have been here for the full hour. I'm getting fatherly advice from a guy who needed his own sippy cup earlier for his tea.
I mean, I could.
You needed your own sippy cup.
It's so bad, but it's.
It spilled all over the place.
All over me. All over my.
Rich, you have any sippy cups left?
We're tapped out of sippy cups and diapers. Thank God. Thank God. We've moved on.
I got up at 2:45 and changed a very full diaper.
You will remember this story, sir, when you are like 15 episodes into Paw Patrol and all of that. That's coming for you.
I can't wait to watch Frozen.
Brutal.
Coming for you.
I'm an Olaf.
You will be begging for the conundrum of whether the words tax attorney or taxidermy was said. You will be begging
for that to be on your screen.
Not yet. Yeah.
Oh, when he sees Olaf.
Yeah.
Read that wrong. Oh, yeah.
Stop it. Oh, my God. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Bruce Feldman, we had college football. What is going on with the Pac-12, Big Ten, and this? There's a college football league. Is Deion Sanders the new coach at Jackson State?
Oh, yeah.
That's coming up.
The Mighty.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, The Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 89 Earthquake World Series that rocked the Bay Bridge, and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials, and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, The Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.